Welcome to Eternity Now. I'm Senior Pastor and Evangelist Kyle Huckins. We're a U.S.-based church and evangelism movement reaching every color and culture for Christ. Our podcasts, videos, doctrine, history, and much more are on our website, eternitynow.com, eternitynow.com. This broadcast is made possible by your tax-deductible giving. Go to our website and click Support Us to see how you can help bring the good news of eternal life to 1 million people this year. Thanks for listening. Now for one of my recent messages.
We're nearing the moment of put up or shut up. The world's heart is hardening so much that for many more people to be saved, they'll have to see something supernatural that convinces them God is real and coming for the quick and the dead. The Bible's prophecies of the end times tell us that the supernatural is about to happen in frequency and power as never before. But we also have a prototype in the Old Testament story of Elijah facing off against the false prophets of his day. More is in my message, the God who answers by fire, from 1 Kings 18, verses 1 to 46, the second in a series. Let's now go to our Lord in prayer. Well, Father God, thank you so much for the chance to be able to bring this message to the people. I pray, Lord God, for the fire of the Holy Spirit to cleanse our nation and world, and also to be put within us to be able to go out and tell the good news to every creature. We thank you, Lord God, for what you're going to do today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. But we saw in 1 Kings 17 that Israel is plagued by wicked King Ahab and the even more evil Queen Jezebel. They built temples to false gods, encouraged perverted sex, and fought God's true messengers. But just as the chosen people are about to choose paganism, Elijah, an unknown seer from beyond the River Jordan, shows up before Ahab and proclaims a drought that won't end until the prophet gives the word. As all Israel dries up and crops and livestock die, the Lord God relates a new message to Elijah, and carrying it out results in one of the greatest showdowns in world history. We start with verse 1. And it came to pass, after many days, that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, Go, present yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain on the earth. Now Elijah didn't just whimsically think to stop up the skies and dry the grounds too. As we covered in the first message in this series, he went to 1 Kings 8 and proclaimed drought due to Israel's wickedness. From the same chapter, he also took his cue for reversing the drought, as it mentions a single faithful person can pray to the Lord and bring moisture. That was a poke in the eyes of Jezebel's favorite gods, Baal and Asherah, the deities of rain and fertility. But now, 3 years after Elijah saw his brook dry up and headed to provision in, of all places, Jezebel's hometown with the widow of Zarephath, the one true God, Jehovah, tells the prophet it's time for the drought to end. God gives such words yet today, but not something like candidate X will win here or the rapture will be on date Y. Now, when I receive something special from the Lord, I see or hear perhaps that the war in Gaza is underway, and in the flash of a vision or the Holy Spirit reminding me of a passage in God's Word, he applies Scripture to the current situation. The Lord did show me that the present conflict with Israel and the Palestinians will help launch the 200 million horsemen attack on the Holy Land that is spoken of in Ezekiel 38 and Revelation 9. We go on to 1 Kings 18, verses 2 to 6. So Elijah went to present himself to Ahab, and there was a severe famine in Samaria. And Ahab had called Obadiah, who was in charge of his house. Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly, for so it was, while Jezebel massacred the prophets of the Lord, that Obadiah had taken 100 prophets and hidden them, 50 to a cave, and had fed them with bread and water. And Ahab had said to Obadiah, Go into the land to all the springs of water and to all the brooks. Perhaps we may find grass to keep the horses and mules alive, so that we won't have to kill any livestock. So they divided the land between them to explore it. Ahab went one way by himself, and Obadiah went another way by himself. Elijah immediately obeys God and goes to find Ahab, though we'll find he has an intermediate stop along the way. We learned in this passage that not only has Jezebel been pushing false gods, she's been slaughtering those who worship the true one, Yahweh. While Ahab is king, Jezebel is the stronger personality. We find, for example, when Ahab desired Naboth's field but couldn't buy it, the monarch pouted. However, Jezebel found a couple worthless men to falsely accuse Naboth so that he would be stoned to death and Ahab could get his property. Ahab here is concerned with the crisis at hand, locating for the animals to eat, but he has with him a servant who's obedient to the true God and what he wants. And indeed, Elijah knows it. 1 Kings 18, verses 7 to 14. Now as Obadiah was on his way, suddenly Elijah met him, and he recognized him and fell on his face and said, "Is that you, my lord Elijah?" And he answered him, "It is I. Go tell your master, Elijah is here." So he said, "How have I sinned that you're delivering your servant into the hand of Ahab to kill me? As the Lord your God lives, there is no nation or kingdom where my master has not sent someone to hunt for you. And when they said he is not here, he took an oath from the kingdom or nation that they could not find you. And now you say, 'Go, tell your master, Elijah is here.' And it shall come to pass, as soon as I'm gone from you, that the Spirit of the Lord will carry you to a place I do not know. So when I go and tell Ahab, and he cannot find you, he will kill me. But I, your servant, have feared the Lord from my youth. Was it not reported to my Lord what I did when Jezebel killed the prophets of the Lord, how I hid 100 men of the Lord's prophets, 50 to a cave, and fed them with bread and water? And now you say, 'Go tell your master, Elijah is here. He will kill me.'" Well, Obadiah is gun-shy, or we might say Ahab-shy. He's a faithful man, but his king doesn't fear God, and his queen murders Yahweh's prophets, so he's nervous about Elijah's plan to have him bring over the monarch. Interesting that Elijah doesn't go directly to Ahab, but has Ahab come to him. That likely is quite deliberate and appropriate, for the prophet is showing the true God is the greatest of any power in the world. 1 Kings 18, verses 15 to 19. Then Elijah said, "As the Lord God of hosts lives, before whom I stand, I will surely present myself to him today." So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. Then it happened, when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said to him, "Is that you, O troubler of Israel?" And he answered, "I have not troubled Israel, but you and your father's house have, in that you have forsaken the commandments of the Lord and have followed the Baals. Now therefore, send and gather all Israel to me on Mount Carmel, the 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of Asherah who eat at Jezebel's table." Well, Elijah must have something of a good reputation, as he promises Obadiah that he'll be there to see the king, and Obadiah brings Ahab. The king has no remorse for all the evil he's done against the true and living God, or that his wife is providing nourishment to nearly 1,000 false prophets. Rather, he's angry at the man trying to turn back to the Lord the hearts of the monarch and all of Israel. Elijah fires right back at Ahab and indicates he has a plan. Confront the priests who have insulted Yahweh and undermined the spirituality and morality of God's chosen people. Ahab has troubled his own house, and Elijah is trying to end the difficulty. Don't expect everyone to congratulate you when you tell them that Jesus died for their sins, and by repenting and following him, they will be saved. The proud in heart shun salvation and welcome disaster, and that is exactly why America is on the brink of collapse today. 1 Kings 18, verses 20 and 21. So Ahab sent for all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together on Mount Carmel. And Elijah came to all the people and said, "How long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him." But the people answered him not a word. King Ahab does Elijah's bidding. Behind every usurping woman is a weak man. The prophet challenges the people, "In whom do you believe?" The crowd knows the correct answer is Yahweh, but they've been so confused and hardened against the Lord that they refuse to say. America today is faltering between two opinions, that the Lord is God and that mankind is God. When people who call themselves Christian won't give the maker of heaven and earth their worship a single hour in a week, and others persecute peaceful, loving believers while allowing free rein to Islam, Satanism, and other religions, then we know that the USA is a post-Christian nation indeed. God's trying to make us choose, Jehovah or devil, Almighty or the unwashed. The Lord is beginning to show precisely whom those wheat and tares are. Be sure to live your faith, that at the end of this age, you'll be gathered in by God's angels, not Satan's demons. 1 Kings 18, verses 22 to 24. Then Elijah said to the people, I alone am left a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Therefore, let them give us two bowls, and let them choose one bowl for themselves, cut it in pieces, and lay it on the wood, but put no fire under it. And I will prepare the other bowl, and lay it on the wood, but put no fire under it. When then you call on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord, and the God who answers by fire, he is God. So all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. Elijah isn't going to pass up an opportunity to show who is the real Lord of all. He's so confident of Jehovah that he tells the false prophets, you get an animal ready for sacrifice. I'll prepare one myself. The deity who acts is the true one, the God who answers by fire. Israel, Yahweh's own people group, brought up in the Torah, taken from captivity through the depths of the Red Sea, who claimed the land the Lord set aside for them, has gotten to the point it needs to see his might again. And so it is in our day for many straddling the fence of faith. 1 Kings 18, verses 25 to 29. Now Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, choose one bull for yourselves and prepare it first, for you are many, and call on the name of your God, but put no fire under it. So they took the bull which was given them, and they prepared it, and called on the name of Baal from morning, even till noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice. No one answered. Then they leaped about the altar which they had made. And so it was at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he's meditating, or he's busy, or he's on a journey. Perhaps he's sleeping and must be awakened. So they cried aloud and cut themselves, as was their custom, with knives and lances, until the blood gushed out on them. And when midday was past, they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice. But there was no voice. No one answered. No one paid attention. So much activity from the pagans, so little notice from their gods. Elijah says, yell louder, wake him up, get his attention. Knowing there is no real Baal or Asherah, they are conduits for the devil's deception. Notice some modern practices of the troubled here, such as cutting themselves, which is common in particular with young females with suicidal tendencies these days. Satan's main power is in getting us to think we're all alone in this world, and we should destroy ourselves through suicide or indulgence. That counts out the one true God, who answers by fire. 1 Kings 18, 30-35. Then Elijah said to all the people, come near to me. So all the people came near to him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones, according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord had come, saying, Israel shall be your name. Then with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench around the altar large enough to hold 2 sa'as of seed. And he put the wood in order, cut the bull in pieces, and laid it on the wood, and said, fill 4 water pots with water, and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. Then he said, do it a second time. And they did it a second time. And he said, do it a third time. And they did it a third time. So the water ran all around the altar, and he also filled the trench with water. Elijah is making sure there's no question it is the Lord when God comes through. The trench around the altar can hold 24 pounds of seed, according to the Jews' measure, quite a bit, thinking how small most seeds are. The prophet has the bowl and wood soaked with about a dozen gallons of water at each of the three rounds. So he uses up 36 gallons of then precious water, making a moat. 1 Kings 18, verses 36 and 37. And it came to pass, at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that Elijah the prophet came near and said, O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel, and I am your servant, and that I have done all these things at your word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that you are the Lord God, and that you have turned their hearts back to you again. The prophet doesn't just want rain and dew to bring to life the fields of Israel. He wants to put God's Spirit back in the hearts of the people. It's 3 o'clock, the middle of the afternoon, fittingly the time of the Jews' evening sacrifice. Elijah brings a prayer that's short, simple, and appropriate. What now is going to be the Lord's response? We see in 1 Kings 18, verses 38 to 40. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice, and the wood, and the stones, and the dust. It had licked up the water that was in the trench. Now when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, The Lord, He is God! The Lord, He is God! And Elijah said to them, Seize the prophets of Baal! Don't let one of them escape! So they seized them. And Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and executed them there. Jehovah shows He is Lord and God in a mighty, unquestionable way. By defeating all these false prophets and playing on Ahab's interest in ending the drought, Elijah has at once cleansed Israel of doubt that Yahweh is Almighty God and gotten rid of Baal's clergy. However, there's one more matter to be taken care of, completing God's command to bring moisture back to crops and animals. And we'll see this happen in 1 Kings 18, verses 41 to 46. Then Elijah said to Ahab, Go up, eat and drink, for there is the sound of abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel. And he bowed down on the ground and put his face between his knees and said to his servant, Go up now, look toward the sea. So he went up and looked and said, There is nothing. And 7 times he said, Go again. Then it came to pass the 7th time that he said, There is a cloud as small as a man's hand rising out of the sea. So he said, Go up, say to Ahab, Prepare your chariot, and go down before the rain stops you. Now it happened in the meantime that the sky became black with clouds and wind, and there was a heavy rain. So Ahab rode away and went to Jezreel. Then the hand of the Lord came upon Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran ahead of Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. Elijah knows that God will send rain. By praying 7 times and having his servant check each time, we see he may be just a little nervous. No one in the Bible is perfect except Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The heavy rain comes, however, and God's hand allows Elijah to outrun the king's chariot over a distance of more than 20 miles. My friend, the God who answers Elijah by blazing water is the same God who will answer you in power when you pray according to His will. Ask Him to save souls, and souls will be saved. Call on Him for help in your home, and He'll send peace. Pray for the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest, and they shall be sent, you first among them. The Lord yet answers by fire today. That of the Holy Spirit. We have 5 takeaways today, points that I want you to think about, pray about, and put into action. Number 1, we need not be perfect for the Lord to use us. We need not be perfect for the Lord to use us. Obadiah fears Ahab, Elijah prays repeatedly for rain, but both are borne out by the Almighty Father in the end. I wish I could say that from the moment I was saved, I never sinned again, but that would be a lie, and yet another sin. However, truth is, in spite of my shortcomings, the Lord's used me to bring faith to people, and He will use you mightily in ministry as well. Number 2, believers sometimes must confront evil, doing so without apology and with power. Believers sometimes must confront evil, doing so without apology and with power. Elijah doesn't try to woo Ahab or ingratiate himself with Jezebel. Rather, he knows God's word and hears his voice, then acts with the strength of the Holy Spirit. Don't let people water down the gospel or excuse wickedness. Instead, speak the truth in love. Number three, challenge those who mock God to prove their points and have your points ready. Challenge those who mock God to prove their points and have your points ready. You need not have 150 IQ or a photographic memory, just a dedication to preparation and the Lord's impartation of His Spirit. Read God's Word, trust it, and act upon it, and you'll have treasure in heaven, as well as a better life here below. Number four, throughout the Bible, the Lord does miracles. The Lord's prophecies say now, at the end of the age, He's about to act supernaturally in multitudinous, profound, and public ways. Throughout the Bible, the Lord does miracles. The Word's prophecies say now, at the end of the age, He's about to act supernaturally in multitudinous, profound, and public ways. He'll scald humanity with heat, poison seas with blood, and create and submerge lands across the globe. And He will empower you to be a witness in His name until, like Elijah, you're taken up to heaven. And number five, if you're faltering between Yahweh as God and anything else, then cling to Him and let all else fall away. If you're faltering between Yahweh as God and anything else, then cling to Him and let all else fall away. We cannot take with us money, fame, power, control, anything except our souls. As Joshua 24:15 has that great patriarch say, "Choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Some these days say, "Well, let me sow my wild oats, then I'll come to Jesus." Or, "If I'm sincere, it doesn't matter what I believe." Or, "I can live just like the world, and God will forgive me everything." I tell you, on the authority of the Word of God, all those assumptions are false. Sowing oats takes time. We're not guaranteed even one more day to come to Christ. If sincerity were all that mattered, wouldn't Hitler be in heaven? He sincerely hated the Jews and thought all ethnicities were inferior to Germans. And as for unwillingness to turn from sin and pursue the Lord, Jesus Himself says, "No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or else be loyal to the one and despise the other." You cannot serve God and mammon. And this is what the great apostle Paul says, "Today, if you will hear God's voice, do not harden your hearts. Surrender to the Lord now, and from now on, you will never be defeated by the devil." My friend, there are just four essentials in salvation. Number one, repent of sin. Turn away from it. Ask God's forgiveness for it. For Jesus' sake, He will grant your request. Secondly, confess faith in Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life. There is no way to be saved but by Him. Believe that Jesus Christ rose in body and spirit. Friends, if He remains in the grave, we will as well. But His spirit and body have risen, and so ours will who follow Him. And finally, follow Jesus as Lord and Savior. Now, you're going to do it imperfectly just like I have. I've been ordained for more than 20 years. I've been serving the Lord as a saved, born-again Christian for nearly 30. And yet, I sin. But, yet, God has the grace and mercy to forgive and also to empower, to overcome that sin. I'm going to lead a prayer now of repentance and faith in the Lord God. And if you believe what you're repeating from me today, then you will be able to begin that journey into Jesus. You just continue on it, seeking the Lord and trying to obey Him, and you will walk into heaven one day. Let's go to our Father in prayer. Father God, please forgive me. I know that I have sinned. I confess Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. There's no way to you but by Him. I believe he rose. The third day in the tomb. And all who believe in him shall as well. And I will follow him as Lord and Savior, repenting should I fall. Come into my heart, Lord God, and save me. In Jesus' name, amen. So be it, and it is. Call, and he shall answer. And he is good to all who fear him, to all who reverence his name. Ah, yes, the journey that begins with that single step, a single prayer. But it need not ever stop. And if you just keep going down that narrow path that leads to life, you will find it eternally. But once we're saved, what do we do? First of all, we are baptized. The Bible says that once we believe, we are to show that we have received Jesus Christ as Lord by being immersed into the water, just as he was to begin his earthly ministry. The one person in the history of the world who didn't have to be baptized, and he was. He considered that to be so much of an important example for you and I to be able to follow. Read the Bible. It's not an academic exercise, though there's certainly good scholarship about it. No, it is how we find out who God is, and we experience God because he, by the Holy Spirit, inspired the writers to put down what they did over 1,700 years and 40 authors. Also, pray, possess some of those 7,500 promises that are in the Word of God by asking the Lord to manifest them in your life. Friend, you can't do it by willpower, you've got to do it by God's power. Come to church. We need to assemble together physically as well as also remotely if we cannot get together with a like-minded group of believers. My friend, you need to have people praying for you. You need to have people who are seeing you regularly, being able to hold you accountable as well as hold you up when you have difficult times. Have fellowship with other believers. We need each other. We need this friendship. We need also to become a fighting force that trusts one another in this body of Christ. And finally, pursue personal relationship with Almighty God. Oh yes, you can know God individually. In fact, you have to know him for yourself personally. There is a corporate element. We come together, we gather together, we work together as the body of Christ. But the salvation is individual. He knows you because he knit your soul together in the womb of your mother, placed it there. And just like with Jeremiah, he was called to the nations, he's called you to serve in his house. Remember, Eternity Now is an evangelism outreach and church headquartered in Scottsbluff, Nebraska, and touching the world. See the weekly message live Saturdays 5 p.m. Mountain on Facebook.com/EternityNowMedia, YouTube.com/@EternityNow, Twitter's @KyleHuckins, or LinkedIn as well. We also have our Revelation Bible study on Wednesdays, 7 p.m. Mountain, same pages and platforms. Our group is 3 years old and has reached 2 million people for Christ. We want to reach another 1 million this year, but we need your help. Donating $25 a month reaches 10,000 people with the gospel of a year. Go to bit.ly/reachamillion to see more and give securely. Again, bit.ly/reachamillion. Give the gift of Jesus this year and make your Father happy. Let's go to that Father in prayer, for he cares for all of us who call upon him. Father God, thank you that when we call, you answer. You will honor your word and protect your name. Oh, Lord God, answer our nation and world with the fire of the Holy Ghost. Burn away the dross, leave them and us better than before, as well as eternally grateful. Give us souls to save before the great day of the Lord, when Jesus comes to judge the quick and the dead, for then it'll be too late for them. We pray your passion and power for salvation, the souls needing you. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. I'm Pastor and Evangelist Kyle Huckins, thanking you for worshiping with Eternity Now. Be sure to take a look at our main website, www.eternitynow.com, eternitynow.com, where you can find links to all our videos, where to download our podcasts, see our beliefs, my writings for National Christian Outlets, The Way of Salvation, and more. And remember, you can contact me personally at K-H-U-C-K-I-N-S, khuckins@eternitynow.com. Or phone or text me at USA 806-463-8793. Again, 806-463-8793. May the Lord bless you and keep you. cause his face to shine upon you and give you peace.